as we go through Genesis 37, we want to think about this. Your God-given dream or vision is within. Your God-given dream or vision is within. Many times in life, people such as you and I are given things. Some of the things we are given are more precious in our estimation than others. Usually, when something is precious to a person, they regard it and treat it differently. They may even cherish it. Sometimes the value of something or the preciousness of something has to do a lot with whom they received it from. God has been so good to so many of us in so many ways that sometimes we forget how precious some of the things are that we receive from God. If God did not give you air to breathe, God's been so good and we're so spoiled that instead of being grateful and appreciative, we walk around sometimes upset with God because he didn't do this and he didn't do that. But if he had not done the other, we wouldn't be looking for this or looking for that. In our scripture for today, in Genesis 37, Joseph is at a young age, age 17. And he was given two dreams by God that were not fulfilled until he was about the age of 30. Somebody said, wait a minute. I just heard the song on 103.9, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. But we forgot which time schedule he was working with. We are under the impression that God is working with our time schedule. But God said, no, it's my time schedule. But what was it that allowed Joseph to hold on to what God showed him in spite of opposition, in spite of trials, in spite of tribulations, in spite of being lied on and had to serve some jail time until the dream was fulfilled? Here's a 17-year-old young man. I said, God, how did he hold on until the dream was fulfilled? And God said, I know you heard it said before that when I give vision, I give provision. Hallelujah. He said, so when I give vision, I give provision. So even though Joseph was 17 when he started out, I gave him everything he needed to be able to hold on until the dream was fulfilled as long as he walked in my will and walked in my will. I'm mighty afraid of folks that walk around claiming blessings from God and have no intention of serving God. That bothers me. I say, don't make the claim if you ain't going to name the name. If you're not going to walk in the name, don't make the claim. Folks think you can just hang around and get from God. Yes, he does allow the just to shine, or you know, his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. But there's a point where you need to come in to the family to get the full blessing. But some folk walking around just thinking God owed them something. God don't owe you anything. As a matter of fact, the problems of the Bible are not yours until. My God. And I like when we halfway quote scripture. We don't want to quote the whole thing. I like the one in Philippians, you know. God will supply your need according to riches and glory. But that's right after the church gave. We isolate stuff. You know. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. But what kind of trouble are you in? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want until I covet something. Well, what was it that allowed Joseph to hold on through all this? When God gives you a dream or vision, it is yours and it is within you and no one can take it away. As a matter of fact, when he gives it to you, it's your dream and it is in what I call protective custody. It's your dream. That's why when you articulate it, some folks can't understand it because it's your dream. It's your vision. And sometimes you just ought to be quiet with your dream and your vision because folk don't understand. When they don't understand it, they begin to say certain things and then you get all upset because ain't nobody except your dream. It's for you. As a matter of fact, it's like the black box on a plane.
If they can't find nothing else, what are they searching for? Because in the black box, it contains so much information. And God said, I gave you a dream. It's your dream. As a matter of fact, the dream is within you. It is in protective custody. Nobody can destroy your dream, not even you. Because what happens in the dream and the vision, whether you accept it or not, it doesn't negate the fact that God gave you one. So it is still in existence. Oh, glory be to God. You can't even destroy your own dream. You can just not fulfill it. But you can't destroy it because God gave it to you. Now think about who gave it to you. The Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God thought enough about you to put a dream in you, to give you a vision. And when you accept that vision, it's on. One thing we need to understand, when you accept God's will, you got to accept the total will of God. It's going to be some ups and downs. But if you hang in there, it's going to be all right. Joseph hung in there. I don't know if I could have hung in there, but I admire Joseph. He hung in there. His own family hated him. Hello. But some folks don't understand. And I believe Joseph 17, he didn't really know. He was just sharing with them that he had a dream. But then his father didn't help. Jake brought him, went down Boyd's and brought him this coat of many colors. Had a tailor. You know how. Yeah, the brothers got a tailor. They got a different wall. So he had, Joseph had this coat of many colors. And actually, that was a coat for royalty. So his brothers really got mad because they, I don't think they had, the Bible said they had no coat. They had a Kmart coat or something. They didn't have a coat from Boyd's. No, what's the new one? But when God gives you a dream or vision, it's yours. It's nobody else's. And sometimes because of the dream, you can't even articulate it because sometimes he gives it to you in portions. And if he gives you the whole thing, he doesn't give you a time of fulfillment. You just got to stay with it and stay in it. But you got to believe God for the fulfillment of the dream and the fulfillment of the vision, because the enemy is going to send something in the way to make you get so frustrated that you will abandon your dream and abandon your vision and walk around talking about, what if? What if? No, your dream is still there. It may be buried, just dust it off. Whatever God showed you, it's still there. Whatever vision God gave you, it's still there. It may have been 10, 15 years ago, but it's still there. And what if you found out that everything you've been through was part of the process of the fulfillment of the dream? Somebody lied to you when they told you, when you accept what God's will for your life, that everything going to be peachy keen. That's a lie. We walk around looking for God to make everything so happy and so delightful. We would never call on his name in prayer. Some of us are in church. Some of us are saved right now because God put some rough stuff in our lives. If he hadn't put the rough stuff in there, we'd still be doing what we do. All out there in the world. Doing what we do. Loving it. Sin is pleasure for a season. But sin is also makes me a candidate for salvation. But Joseph believed at an early age what God showed him, whether he realized the magnitude of it or not. Sister, when you find somebody you can trust, no matter what they tell you, you're going to believe it. That's where our parents were. Whatever they told you, you believe that thing. And God said, you know, I'm even better than your parents. But some of us are so impatient. Look at this one. This one got this. This one got that. You don't know when they got the dream. And you don't know what they went through. Because a lot of times when we tell a story, you can't even tell the whole story. It's so deep. What God took you to get to where you are. You can't even tell them. And sometimes you can't tell it because you choke up and start crying and the words will. But your dream is within you. So, you know, you really can't destroy it. It's on the intern. That's why sometimes you can't just do a little quick prayer. Sometimes you got to go through the Holy of Holies. And you got to get in touch. You got to begin to pray till you feel God beginning to speak to your internal being to let you know everything's going to be all right. I got you. I know some stuff jumped off on your job. I know some stuff jumped off in your family. As a matter of fact, I know some stuff jumped off in your own mind, but guess what? I still got you. I'm not a man where I should lie. I don't dangle carrots. I don't tease folks. I don't play around with folks. I ain't got time to play around. I'm kingdom building. I saved your life. I got a job for you to do. I got ministry for you. I ain't got time to play games like everybody else. This thing is for real. Many of us, we just dash our dreams, just cast them on the side because it don't look like it's going to be fulfilled, or I don't think I can do this, which is true. We can't. God can do it through us. I don't think I'm worthy. By the blood of Jesus, you worthy of everything God sends your way. I wish you would just go ahead and get this thing right so the enemy can get out of our head, get out of our heart, and get out of our lives so we can go and tear down the enemy's kingdom and build God's kingdom here on earth. There's some dreams and visions right here, and God says, I want you all to blow breath back into those dreams and those visions and stop looking at your church and stop looking at other people. They ain't going to let me do this here. They can't. God is in control. When God makes vision, He makes provision. I think Joseph considered the dreams that God gave him as precious. We need to begin to consider what God says to us as precious. As what God gives to us as precious. We so spoiled in America. God's been so good to America that we don't even understand what it is to be without. Trying to figure out, you know, we study in the school trying to figure out why the Africans love God, call him the rain god. He ain't no rain god. He say, hold up. He's a rain god to them because if it don't rain, they don't eat. Yeah. You city slicker, you go and pass mark, shot right, whether it rain or not, and get everything you want. Right. Oh, you got to understand perspective. We don't know how blessed we are, and we don't have any money. We think we're not blessed. If we don't have the biggest car, we think we're not blessed. If we don't have the biggest house, we think we're not blessed. That's nonsense. The fact that you know your name, the fact that you're saved and sanctified, the fact that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb says to God and to you, I am in fact blessed. And if I don't have it now, I'm going to get it then. And if I don't get it now, I'm going to get it when He comes back. Along with the dream, God empowered Joseph to go through what he needed to go through until the dream was fulfilled. That's powerful, but there's three basic things that I believe Joseph realized. Number one, when you accept the dream or the vision that God gave, you're going to have opposition. Number one, you're going to have opposition. Number two, you're going to have some obstacles. But number three, you're going to have opportunity. Opposition, obstacles, and opportunity. When we begin to look at our obstacles as opportunities, different opposition, you look at it, God's in this thing. Thank you, Lord. Look at Genesis 37, beginning at verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors. Now you know that happens sometimes. Sometimes you start getting a little more attention to one child than you do the other. Something's going to jump off between the siblings. Amen. You may not even mean anything by it, but next time get enough material from Joe Mars that you can make a coat for everybody. Stop all the nonsense. Look at verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they what? They hated him and could not what? They couldn't speak peacefully unto him. I mean, every time you ever see somebody... No, don't raise your hand. You ever know somebody, and every time they saw somebody, they just, yeah, thank you. Face frowned up. They was ready to, they couldn't say nothing nice about them. As soon as they saw them, their blood pressure went up and their blood began to boil. They just hated him. And not because he specifically had done anything, because his father showed him more love and gave him a coat of many colors. But then Joseph really messed up. Because God was in his life. See, when God's in your life, you're going to make somebody mad. Because God will do some things in your life that you know, he's not supposed to do. Because, see, when you and I are from the hood, how are you going to get God in your life and he's not going to be in my life? But, see, I'm not going to do what you did to get him in your life, but I'm mad at you. Okay. All right. Let's make that plain. And Joseph dreamed the dream. That means, I looked that thing up, that means that's a figure of speech that he dreamed a significant dream. He dreamed a dream. It's called a significant dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet some more. Look, I don't think Joseph knew they hated him like that. I wouldn't mess with him. If my brothers hated me, I wouldn't mess around with them. I get far away. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with them guys, man. Because you do go out there and, you know, feed the sheep. They had different farming utensils and instruments. And some of them could have been sharp, you know. They could have had some rocks, you know, something like that. Look what he told them in verse 6. This is what he said there. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, the dream which I had dreamed." And you can imagine that coat. He had his coat on. "Hear, hear ye, hear ye. Hear ye, hear ye. Come on, listen to me. Job has something to tell you. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." That's why in my mind, it doesn't say in the scripture that Joseph had no clue that they hated him like that. So you don't share a dream like that. "I hate you, and I'm going to bow down to you." But little did they know that God was going to use all. I need to somebody, you know something, you've been messed up all your life. But little did you know that God was using all that mess to bring about a blessing and a fulfillment of a dream and a vision in your life. So you can't fight every battle. You can't get in there and cuss everybody out. Sometimes you just have to back up and take it because God is doing something and God is working something out in your life. Look at verse 8. His brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, you young 17-year-old? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us, you coat of many color, wearing the blank of blicky blacky?" Oh, you know how we get now. Come on, y'all. Oh, I forgot to tell you, put your halos out in the hallway. This is real. "And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Oh, he's really being hated. Look at verse 9. "And he dreamed yet another dream," which means he had another significant dream. "And he still..." I was checking the record to see was Joseph a little retarded, slow, or what. Okay. "And he told it to his brother and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.'" Lord have mercy. Now, he done moved from, you know, here. "And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, 'What is this dream that thou hast dreamed?'" But something tells me that Jacob knew a little bit of something. "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down yourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brother envied him, but his father observed the same. So already Joseph has opposition. He's just sharing the dream. You ever share a dream or vision that God gave you? And you ever look at the person's face? They ain't a bit more interested. Because they don't see you like God see you. They be laughing sometimes. After you leave, God ain't told them. "I ain't praying for that fool." God ain't told him nothing of her, nothing of the sort. They think I am wasting my time at Dunkin' Donuts over a cup of coffee with this nonsense. But guess what? There will be obstacles. Look at verse 12. "The brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, 'Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them.' And he said to him, 'Here am I.'" And he said, "Go to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with..." Check on your brothers. God's got to be in this thing because you really don't want Joseph to go check on his brothers. Not away from the house. If I was Joseph, I would play right in front of the window where my father was sitting. I'd play right there every day. I would not go anywhere, but his father sent him to check in on them. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flock, and bring me back word again. So he sent him out of the vale, out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. This is deep. This is still opposition. And when they saw him afar off, you ever see somebody just coming in your door? You in the kitchen? Oh, Lord. And you ain't got no back way up the steps. You done. You caught. Because they got you in their sight. You know what I mean? And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Somebody's trying to kill your dream. Somebody's trying to kill your vision. You shared it with them. It may not have been the proper thing to do, but you didn't mean any dirt by that. You didn't mean anything malicious by that, but they interpreted it the wrong way. So God's going to keep you protected in the process, but don't be afraid of opposition. Because what opposition does is give you opportunity to give God glory. Because if you never have any opposition, the stuff in your life, you can handle on your own. But I serve a God. I love verse 19. And they say one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Can you imagine how they said it? Behold. This little punk, get out of. I saw him afar off because the sun is shining and his coat of myriad colors was iridescent. And it was like, ugh. See that coat a mile away? All that red and yellow and green, I'm just making up. I don't know what color it was. I don't know. I'm just making this stuff up just to make it more interesting. Amen. Look at verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They're trying to kill. Can't nobody kill your dream because it's within. It's like in the black box. It's in protective custody. Amen. Nobody can kill your dream. God gave it to you. It's within you. They can't get inside of you deep enough to get to your dream. They can mess with your mind, your spirit, and your heart, but they cannot get to the dream that God has given you. It is covered by God. It is within. It's deep within you, and they can't get to it. They might mess you up. They might frustrate you. They might talk about you. They may become a stumbling block, but they can't kill your dream. You need to know that today they can't kill your dream or your vision. I don't care who you talk to and who you talk with. Your dream is yet still alive. Reuben heard what they said in verse 21. And Reuben heard and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Can you imagine somebody so mad at you because of what God's getting ready to do in your life and you have to share? They ready to kill you. They ready to knock him off. Their own brother. You know. Their own brother, they ready? Yeah, let's see if we can't get some red out of his skin to match that red on his coat, you know. But Reuben said, no. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben said, I'm gonna go back and get him later on. But I don't want y'all to. God always got somebody, got some mercy for you, doesn't he? Got some grace for you. And don't forget that when it becomes your turn to give out some mercy and grace, don't forget. Don't get so deep in yourself that you ain't got no grace and mercy for nobody else. You can't bless nobody else. You ain't got time for nobody else. All you got time is for yourself. God said, no. This thing goes around and around and around and around. Look at verse 23. It came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his what? Guess what, y'all? The dream ain't in the coat. Tear my robe off it, ain't it? Hey, God called you to preach, God called you to teach, God called you to sing. They can tear your clothes off and you still singing. They can't get the gift, they can't get the dream. Y'all let too many folk inside your head and inside your heart sometimes. You give them space, they have they should not even have the kind of space they have in your inner circle of your life. You ought to take their phone number out of your cell phone. You are counseling with the wrong folk. Never counsel with only the people that tell you what you want to hear. Get somebody going to challenge you. Get somebody don't believe everything you say. Amen. Get somebody going to tell you, I don't think so. When you get mad, get somebody, they're going to give you anything you want. Oh, my God. People all up in your life, they got too much space in your life. You listen to them, it's like you ain't heard nothing from God. You listen to them. They wouldn't even die on Calvary if Jesus paid them for you. So they took him in verse 24, and they took him out of his coat of many colors that was on him. That's the first thing. Let's take this coat off of him. Because if we take this coat off of him, the only reason he got the dream was because of his coat. The only reason he got the dream was because he was in church. No, you got the dream because God chose you to give you the dream. That's Mary had the baby because God chose Mary to give the baby. And guess what? You can't change God's mind. I don't care how much you hate me. Oh, my God. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So they wanted to let us know that because they was ready to kill him, but they didn't kill him. They're going to kill him slowly. They in a pit. There ain't no water, nothing in it. So, well, we're not going to kill him by our hands, but maybe, you know, he'll die of natural causes because there ain't nothing down there. People, some evil people, man. We got to be very, very careful. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, the company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry down to Egypt. Now, you'll see Ishmaelites and you'll see Midianites. They were the same group of people. I said, let me make sure we get this right. Yeah, they were the same group of people because it says that the Ishmael was the son of Abraham by Hagar. Midian was the son of Abraham by Keturah. So it's the same folk. When you say Ishmaelites and Midianites, same group of people. So I just want to make sure. I said, if I cleared it up for myself, let's clear it up for the congregation. So, they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah, which means praise, said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. You mean to say you're going to make some money off of somebody you hate? Okay, come and sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then they passed by Midianites, which is really the Ishmaelites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. My Bible tells me a Judah sold Jesus, and a Judah sold Joseph. Oh, a Judas and a Judah, watch out. But then Reuben wasn't around. Look at verse 13. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. He said, oh, my God. They done gone behind my back, and they done kill little Joe. Oh, Lord. And he returned to his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. They get ready to lie now. Evil like to lie. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it. Jacob saw it and said, it's mine. How you do that to your father? He old. You know he loves Joe. How you? They cold blood. I'm sorry. They cold. They are K-O-L-D cold. That's cold. Ain't that cold? Took his coat, dipped it in the animal blood, and take it to their father. I don't know if it belonged to Joseph or not. We found that you sent them to look after us, and we found this. We don't know whether it be thy son's coat or no. They knew that coat. They know that coat anywhere. If Jacob had a pawn that coat, they would have found it. He said, an evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave. I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Can you imagine putting your parents through that? And the boy alive? I can see it was like an insurance scheme, but that's not in here. A life insurance scheme. And the Midianites sold them into Egypt under Potiphar. and an officer of Pharaoh's and the captain of the guard. So there's opposition. There's going to be some obstacles because we're not going to go through all this. But by the time you get to Genesis 39, Potiphar's wife is all over Joe. I understand that Joe was a bad dude. Like a 10 plus or something they said. Joe was buff. And Joe was walking around in charge of Potiphar's house. Now, I use my imagination. Joe was just reaching up to find something. And his muscles and his arms just... And you won't find that in the Word. This is added for our benefit. This is fair. It's not in the Word. But Potiphar's wife was on him. But Joseph, for some reason, God gave him the power to abstain from lust. So Potiphar's wife lied on him. So when Mr. Potiphar came home and got the report, they put Joseph in jail. That's what I like about Joseph. Because if I'm in jail and you lied on me, forget the dream. I'm coming after you. I'm calling somebody in my family out that's not in jail. Look, we got to do this. If I can't get out, if I can't get out of jail, guess what? They obstacles. Watch yourself, Sister Jackie. Out there. We got some new members here. They don't know where I'm from. Amen. 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 The things I used to do? No. Okay. That's at the end of the message. I'm sorry. Genesis 40. While Joseph is in jail, he interpreted a dream for the king of Egypt's butler and baker who were there thrown in prison with him. The butler got out of prison and is supposed to remember Joseph and forgot all about him until 2 years later when Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't interpret. So he said, I remember a young man in prison. Somebody, Joseph, bad dude. Look, ain't no way I'm going to help you get back out of prison and go back to your boss and you're going to remember me and have 2 years later. You got to hold on to the vision. You got to hold on to the dream no matter what you're going to do. Believe God for it. Even if you can't see God in it, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So then through the process of Joseph interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh, he became the prime minister of Egypt. He was controlling all the resources of Egypt. Now you tell me how a Jewish boy can become prime minister in a pagan land. Don't tell me what God cannot do if you don't desert the dream. If you use what God gives you to hold on because the dream is within. Then through famine in the land of Canaan where Joseph's father and brothers were, they had to go to Egypt to get some food. Jacob said, go to Egypt. They got some corn down there. That's some good stuff, ain't it? Because, see, you don't know sometimes how God's going to use you. And, you know, we can count our bruises and our scars and everything, but God's not finished yet. So look at Genesis 42 and 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? He said, I heard there's some corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And if you're familiar with the story, initially Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And if you know the story, he set them up so that eventually they can all be reconciled. Turn to Genesis chapter 45. The dream is within. At this time, Joseph had sent for Jacob and Genesis 45 and 1, this was, he says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. How many of us would have done that? After all these years, your brothers tried to kill you, kill your dream, sold you into slavery, forgot all about you, told your father you were dead, and then you saw him again. How many of us would have the grace and mercy and love of God in our hearts? So I'm Joseph. And Joseph said in verse 4, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Lord, have mercy. God did send me before you down here to Egypt to preserve your life because he was sending a famine into Canaan. And you better be careful who you write off. You don't know what God's doing in their life. They might look weird and act weird. You better be real careful. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earning nor harvest. And God sent me before you, in verse 7, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I ain't mad. He said, don't be mad at yourself, because God's been so good to me. Because God worked this thing out. I've already forgiven you. Because if I had not forgiven you, I wouldn't sell you anything. I sent for my daddy because y'all are the ones that hate. Oh, my God. But that's where you have the opportunity to take the opposition, the obstacles, for God's glory. Think about that. All you've been through in your life, can you package all that up for God? When you look at Genesis 45, this is what he's telling them. He said, God sent me here before. By the time he gets to be prime minister, he's like almost like 30. But can you imagine God speaking to him in the midst of all that he's going through? But somewhere in his mind, he got to be, my brethren, when I see my brothers again. Anybody here today want to kill their brother? Don't raise your hand. I will call the cops. Anybody here? Anywhere along the journey, Joseph could have given up on the dream. Some of us have given up already. We haven't even been through what Joseph's been through. But anywhere along the journey, had he not believed it, he could have given up on the dream. But the dream is within. So whatever was done to him, whatever his brothers did, whatever the slave traders did, whatever they happened to him, whatever Potiphar's wife did, whatever, when the baker forgot about him, whatever happened, Joseph had a God that was greater than what was happening. See, you got to have an internal God that's greater than the external mess that's going on in your life. Anytime Joseph could have given up. Then turn to Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Wow, I was like, wow, Joseph, you're all right. But he took these obstacles and this opposition, and he gave God glory. He glorified God in every situation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Joseph got mad at God or gave up on God, left the church and cussed the pastors and the elders. I ain't Joseph. Where we get all that stuff from? See, when you're not grounded in the Lord, you might do and say anything. We need to learn how to go check with him first. I don't care how mad you get. Go check with God first. Because sometimes we got the wrong stuff going on. It's totally our perception is our reality, but sometimes our perception is off. And we need to take it to God, not to your girlfriend or your dude or your homie that's going to tell you, I lead it too. That's nonsense. If you're looking for God's will in your life, you don't go with encounter with nonsense. Why you don't go to a heathen and ask them about Christianity? They don't even go to church. They ask you what you went to church for. But when we want to hear what we want to hear. Look at Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? I ain't judging you. I got a right to be mad, angry, and upset. But God's been so good to me, I'm greater than all the mess that has ever happened to me in my life. Because I see what God showed me. I see where he was trying to place me. I see your sheep bowing down to my... But he had to repeat the dream because they knew exactly what was going on. I love verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So stop complaining. Stop licking your wounds. And let God fulfill your dream and the vision that He put in your life. It's within you. Yes, you'll have opposition. Yes, you'll have obstacles, but you also have opportunity. Opportunity to glorify God. Opportunity to give God praise. And opportunity to go back and reconcile with those that were coming against you. What do you think Jesus did on the cross? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might live through His righteousness. Whatever God gives you, it is within you. No matter what you do with it, it is still within you. No one can go inside of you and take it. You have to surrender it. If it's God-given, then it's God-protected and God-provided. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. Wait on your provision. Wait on God to bless. Because I realized a long time ago that He'll keep you in the midst of the storm. While you're waiting, while you think He forgot about you, He'll keep you. You will not go under. See, we have this thing in our mind that God hasn't kept me until He blessed me. No, He kept you before He blessed you. If He hadn't kept you before He blessed you, how did you receive the blessing? You wouldn't have been here. Because if you could see what the enemy wanted to do, God will give you what you need to move the dream, the vision from acceptance to fulfillment. There will be opposition, there will be obstacles, and there will be opportunities. But you must determine if you're going to believe God and hold on to the fulfillment. You can't look to people because people didn't give you the dream. Hello. People didn't give you the vision. God will give you the people and the resources. Stop going to folk. Let God send you to the people or send the people to you. Sometimes you go to the wrong folk. We're trying to help God. God, I know you need some help because I've been waiting 10 years. God, you know, I know you're busy up there because past and co-past have been worrying you about all the other stuff. So I think I'll just put my hand in there to help you out so we can get this thing done. But God will give provision with the vision. But the provision starts at the cross for you and I. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way for your true relationship with God, according to the Bible, to be established and maintained. Dreams and visions from God and life as God planned it for you and for I, they are not fulfilled on their own. It's only fulfilled through Christ. See, somebody need to hear that today because you thought you could do this thing. No, it's not on your own. Your dream is within you and God gave it to you. So stop looking for everything else to help, get your dream across. Are you walking in your destiny? Are you walking towards something? Or have you given up? Are you wandering in the wilderness for no reason at all? God said it's time for us to stop complaining and start moving towards Him. What are you telling Deuteronomy? You've been hanging around this place a little bit too long. I gave you Canaan. Y'all get up and move on. God is saying to somebody today, get up and move on. Move on in ministry. Move on in me. Get off of that spot that you're on. You've been there long enough. You're better than that. Stop staying there because the enemy knows where you are and he keeps coming to where you are and he keeps hurting you and he keeps saying things and he keeps hurling things because you're in the same spot. God says you would change your spot and get your mind renewed. Different things would begin to happen. And God said, come on, let me fire that dream back up. Anybody ever grow up down south where they had the stove with the wood in it? And you had to get up and blow on it and put some more wood in it? And God said, let me fire. Your fire is down too low. Everything in your life is cold. Can you allow me to fire up that fire in your life again? Yeah, you ain't going to fan that thing. You lost something somewhere. Somebody got in there and they stole some stuff. But let me tell you right now, whatever the canker worm stole, God and I'm restoring some things today. If you would believe me, if you would just resurrect that dream, if you would walk in my will and walk in my way, I'm ready to do something marvelous and powerful in your life. Because the dream is in protective custody. It is within you. And they tried to destroy you, but they couldn't. They tried to destroy your joy. You thought they loved you. You thought they cared about you. You thought they were interested in you. And then, lo and behold, God pulled the curtain back. Well, guess what? He wanted you to see that, and He wanted you to know that, but He doesn't want you to stay there. Get up and get out of that mess. Move towards God. Stop bondaging yourself. You're better than that. If you and I were redeemed by the same blood, what makes you think God is a respecter of me and not of you, or respecter of you and not of me? That's nonsense. That's external stuff. That's visual stuff. That's not spiritual. Joseph had to wait all those years in order for the dream to be fulfilled in the physical, but he grabbed it in the spiritual. Somebody here got some dreams. You gave them up. Not me, Lord. God, I can't go through that. I would like to understand, how do you think you got through what you've been through already? That ain't no worse. At least get something out of the deal. My God. At least become Prime Minister of Egypt, please. Get something out of the deal. Don't get tired on the journey. You get tired, God will give you the energy. He will reinvigorate you. God, come on. God said, look, I don't know who I'm speaking to. It may not be none of my business, but God is saying, I put a dream and a vision in you, and you let the fire go out because of stuff that's happened. I gave you a gift, and you aren't even using it because you're sitting around in your little pity party. You're all frustrated. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. But where did God go on vacation? If you don't have a friend, I got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will... I'm not saying we don't need human flesh down here, but I tell you, until the right person come along, I'm going to look to the hills for whence cometh my help. My help. You ain't got to put up with less than. Whatever God promised you, it's on the way. Well, He ain't sending yet. He's working on you too. Move up out of that mess. Move up out of that mess. Move up out of that mess. God say, hey, open that dream back up. He's fanning your fire right now. Right. Y'all thought it was the heat on in here. No, it's hot. God about fanning the fire in your life. He said, you took all those detours on your own. I didn't tell you to take those detours. Because you were going through some opposition, some obstacles, and you thought I had abandoned you. I did not abandon you. You abandoned the dream yourself. I was in the process of making you become who I wanted you to be. But see, you ain't want to go through nothing. You've been spoiled all your life. You ain't been through nothing. You ain't have that cut finger. This is real ministry. This is real stuff. Let anybody know. Say, Pastor, how's it going? Hey, as long as God knows about it, I'm doing fine. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Why do you all do what you do? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is... You got to let folks know sometimes. I don't care how crazy they might think you are, but God is doing something in your life, and He's moving you along. And they may not ever understand it, but you don't need them to understand it. You need them to see it. Tell them, please be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. They're going to talk, oh, doing all that Christian stuff, all that church stuff. Oh, y'all get on my nerve and all that stuff. Ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners. Well, come join us. Because we're trying to get better. Amen. We're in the right place. If you're sick, you're in the hospital, you're in the right place. If you're hungry in the restaurant, you're in the right place. Well, guess what? You mess up, you're in church, you're in the right place. Let us all stand. Your dream is within. Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Your dream, your vision is within you, and God is saying, I'm fanning that fire. But it starts at the cross. It starts at the cross. It starts with salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee.